Good morning. Welcome to our service. I'm so pleased you've been able to join us for this time together as we meet in Jesus' name to glorify him and acknowledge his lordship over our lives. So great to have you with us. This morning we're going to be celebrating the second Sunday in Advent, which for us this year represents peace. And in a little while we'll be lighting the second candle that represents peace and reflecting a little bit about how we find peace in the midst of the Christmas story. And alongside that, of course, this Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, and therefore we are going to share communion together. So you might like to pause the video and get some bread and juice ready so that when we get to that part in the service, you'll be able to partake with us in that. It's a wonderful opportunity to express our fellowship, our oneness of being the body of Christ. Even though we can't meet together, we can symbolically declare that we are one in Christ. And of course, in the midst of communion, there is a message of peace. And we'll be tying that in a little bit in a while. Well, before we get into the service proper, there is one other thing I'd like to talk about. I'm very conscious that when we started to do our online services, our reach began to broaden. And my friends over at Aldershot Baptist Church, I know you've been with us, journeying with us over the last almost a year now. And it's been wonderful to have you alongside. But I'm conscious that there are other people tuning in from all sorts of places to share our journey together as we seek to follow Christ. And I thought, with the run-up to Christmas, wouldn't it be lovely if on Christmas Day we could post a short video of messages from people who are tuning into our services? And so if you're one of those people, which presumably you are because you're watching this now, I wonder if you'd be willing to just record a very, very brief message, a Christmas greeting, something along the lines of Merry Christmas from us here in wherever you happen to be. And I can edit those all together, and it'll just be an expression of who we are as the body of Christ. Who we are as a, if you like, an online fellowship. So if you're willing and happy to do that, what you can do is just do a short video clip on your phone or something like that, and email it to me at ben.fortescue@addlestonebaptist.org.uk. It's on the screen there for you. And then I'll splice those all together, and then on Christmas Day we can have a short video of our scattered but united fellowship. So I hope that sounds like a nice idea. I hope that comes together. I'll leave that with you. Let me open with a word of prayer, and then I'd like us to sing together. Let's pray. Father God, on this second Advent Sunday, we come together as your people. We cannot meet physically, but we are of one mind. We love you, Lord, and it's our joy to meet together to worship you. So in the midst of reading the scriptures and reflecting on the message, in the midst of taking communion together, in the midst of the songs that we sing, would you be truly glorified, and may our hearts be open to all that you have for us. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And so I'd like to start our service by singing together the song that I introduced last week called Offering. I received some positive comments about that song. It was a real blessing to many people, and I'd love to just reinforce that. It's a lovely new Christian song, a Christmas song, I meant to say. And so let's sing that together, Offering.
Skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels angels sing to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. And falling on their knees, they bowed before the
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so on this second Sunday in Advent, we light the candle that represents peace. And in that we acknowledge that Jesus is the bringer of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Well, I don't know about you, but when I think of peace, there's a certain irony when it comes to thinking of peace in the context of Christmas. Because I think for many of us, peace is the last thing we experience at Christmas. It's an incredibly busy time of the year. The Advent season is a season of great preparation, of getting organised. When Christmas finally arrives, Christmas Day, I can tell you from my experience in our household with two young children and everything else that's going on, it is anything but peaceful. Perhaps Boxing Day is a little bit better, but not much better. Yeah, Christmas and peace don't naturally fit together for us, at least not in a traditional sense of peace. You know, if we equate peace to quietness, stillness, tranquility, then I think, we don't get to experience much peace during Christmas. But maybe from a biblical perspective, peace is a different thing. And I think actually, as we look at today's passage and think about this, that will come out by our reflections. But I was thinking this idea of peace and in the context of the Christmas story, and just thinking along the lines of, well, who does get to experience peace when it comes to the characters within that nativity story, within the story of the birth of Jesus? Now, I don't know whether you've got a nativity set in your home, but there are certain characters that will always appear within a nativity scene. We've got a nativity scene here at church. And I just spent some time this week thinking about the different characters that were laid out before me and thinking about what was their experience of peace on that first Christmas. And I've grabbed the characters here now. So let's start with Mary and Joseph. Here they are. Mary and Joseph. Did they experience peace that first Christmas? I think those of you who are parents will probably be quite sceptical as to whether they experienced peace. It's not the normal thing we associate with childbirth, is it? Whether that be through the last stages of the pregnancy, through labour, through the actual birth of a child, through to the days and weeks beyond that with a demanding, screaming child in your midst, peace is the last thing we tend to experience. I don't think that Mary or Joseph would have listed peaceful as part of their experience, particularly when you take into the context that they had to travel, they were staying in a strange place, and everything else that accompanied that. So I'm not sure they experienced much peace. Of course, in any good nativity set, there is an angel. Do the angels experience much peace? I'm not sure they do. From what I can tell from the occasions where angels turn up in the Bible, it doesn't strike me as a particularly peaceful event, certainly not a quiet event. I imagine if you're an angel, you probably have to wear ear defenders most of the time. And certainly when the angels turn up and greet human beings, more often than not, they're telling the human beings not to be afraid, such is the awe and the wonder and the if you like, the noisiness of their arrival. So I'm not sure the angels experience peace, not at least not in a traditional sense. So what of the wise men? Perhaps they experienced peace. Well, maybe they they're a bit more reflective than some of the other characters within the story. They certainly have a spirituality. They take time to think about the bigger picture. So maybe there is an aspect of peace within their lives. But they're also people on a quest, aren't they? They have a mission. They have a purpose. They're driven people, prepared to travel great distances in order to seek out some truth or other. So there may be aspects of peace, but they don't necessarily strike me as people who are living in peace and tranquility all the time. So what of the shepherds? Well, I wonder whether this is where we discover peace in the story. Which is interesting because these shepherds that appear in the story were the rough and ready, the the people on the outskirts of society, the marginalised. These were people that weren't the sort of people you'd want to associate with in many senses. But I get the sense that because of that, they got to experience a peace like no other. They got to experience biblical peace. And as I thought about the different characters within the Nativity story, I asked the question of myself, which character in the story do I most relate to? It kind of brought me back to childhood memories of being in a Nativity play. I don't know whether you can recall ever being in a play, whether at school or at church or something like that. And I remember when it came to the play being organised and parts were assigned, you were always hoping for a decent part. Whether you got Mary or Joseph or even the angel Gabriel, those were all speaking parts. So I used to love drama and things like that. So I was always wanting a speaking part. Even getting the part of an innkeeper was quite exciting because you knew you had a role to play. But more often than not, you'd end up being part of the chorus line, which meant one of two things. Either you ended up being an angel with a bed sheet over you and some tinsel in your hair. More often than not, that was assigned to the girls back in the days of political correctness, or before political correctness, that is. But if you were a boy, you know what was coming. You were going to be a shepherd with a tea towel on your head. And sure enough, I remember that was certainly one of my lasting memories of being a shepherd. And at the time, I remember feeling a little bit disappointed. But now I come to reflect on the story with greater understanding. I kind of feel like I relate most to the shepherds in this story. I think for many of us, we're more like the shepherds than anyone else in the story. Well, I'll let you think about that for a moment. I'm going to read the story of the shepherds to us. And then I'll explain a little bit why I think the shepherds are the people that perhaps many of us relate to the most. So the story of the shepherds is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Starting from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and were just as they had been told. So why do I think I relate best to the shepherds? Well, people have different reactions to encountering Jesus. Even within the story of the Nativity, there are different responses to the opportunity to encounter the King of Kings. Let's start with the innkeepers. Now, the biblical witness, there's not much talk about innkeepers. is simply the account that there wasn't room at the inn, and so Mary and Joseph end up in an outhouse. We sort of, in our traditions, we sort of built that into this great journey that Mary and Joseph take round Bethlehem, visiting the various premier inns and that sort of thing. All these different hotels are all fully booked up and being turned away by the various managers of these premises. So there's a lot of creative license around these innkeepers that are told in the story. But what's interesting is within that, I think there's something of how some people react to Jesus. You know, some people are so caught up in the busyness of life, in their own businesses, in their own careers, in their own interests, that when there is an opportunity to meet Jesus, it's kind of like, no, I'm full up, I'm too busy. And they turn their backs and shut their doors. There are people that react like that, and that's a great sadness. And what I would say within that is that prayer can do amazing things, and prayer can turn around the most stubborn of people and change that. But for some people, that is their reaction. When it comes to anything to do with Christianity, it's a case of, no, I haven't got room for that in my life. Move on, please. So some people react like that. I'm not sure that was me. I don't think I was ever completely opposed to the things of God. I never turned my back completely on God. For me, I think there was always an openness to consider these things. So, the innkeepers aren't really me. When it comes to the wise men, I don't think they're me either. You see, one of the things about the wise men is they were seekers. They were people who were seeking out truth. They were prepared to journey like that, to ask the big questions and to commit themselves to discovering truth. And I have to say, hand on heart, I don't think that's me either. I was never, you know, I didn't close off to truth, but I didn't seek it out. I just went with the flow and just got on with life. So I can't say that I was truly like the wise men. But when it comes to the shepherds, that kind of makes sense. Who were the shepherds? They were people who were just getting on with life, doing their mundane jobs, not expecting anything dramatic to happen. In actual fact, they were, of course, on the fringes of society. Shepherding was not an honourable trade or skill. It was a necessary skill, but it wasn't honourable. Shepherds slept with their sheep. They would have smelt pretty rotten. They would have probably considered themselves pretty low on the social scale. Nothing exciting ever happened for them. They were rough and ready, that sort of thing. And they didn't expect anything dramatic to change. And I think I can relate to that. That's how I felt about life. Just ticking along, doing the best I could, but, you know, nothing ever changed. And then for the shepherds, one day, they received an invitation. And okay, it was a dramatic invitation with a whole heavenly host appearing. But they received an invitation. An invitation that they would never have expected to receive. They got invited to encounter the Messiah, the Saviour, the Prince of Peace. And what did they do? They ran to find him. And I love that about them. Because these were people who probably hadn't had a bath in a long time. They were not dressed appropriately to meet the King of Kings. But that didn't matter in that moment because they'd received an invitation. And so they went. And maybe it was their lack of understanding as to who Jesus was that meant that they didn't worry about how they were dressed or what they smelt like or anything like that. And I think for me, when I came to faith, that's my experience. I received an invitation in my life to walk with Jesus. And at the time, I didn't really understand what that truly meant in all its fullness. I didn't understand then my own raggedness, my own brokenness, my own sinfulness. But what I discovered was Jesus invited me in that state regardless. And that's pretty special. I don't know whether you can relate to that. For all of us, salvation is a work of God in our lives. It's a work of grace. It's what God does in our lives. In other words, we all need an invitation. And Jesus has extended that invitation to us to encounter him, to walk with him, and to have our lives changed. And that's what happens for these shepherds. These shepherds go from being the outcasts of society to being the evangelists, going around and telling everyone what had happened. Why? Because I think for the first time in their lives, they had peace in a way that they hadn't had before. And when I say peace, I don't mean that tranquility. I mean that reconciliation. That moment where suddenly life makes a lot more sense. I can relate to that. And not just relate to that in terms of my own personal salvation moment that happened several decades ago. But I think I can relate to that in terms of, I kind of need an invitation every day to walk with Jesus. And indeed, that's what he offers me. You know, there's not a day that goes by where I'm not keenly aware of my failings. I think during this lockdown period, this last year, that's become even more so. Just aware of my shortcomings. And even though I know that my salvation is secure and that I walk with Jesus daily, I know that my sin constantly gets in the way, that my brokenness constantly gets in the way, that I fail Jesus a lot. And there are times when, because of that, I distance myself from Jesus. I hide myself away. I run to the fields on the outskirts of the town and get my head down and just go back to being a shepherd, if that makes sense. But Jesus constantly invites me to more than that. He constantly says, come. Come back, come to me, just as you are, and we'll walk together. See, this is the wonder of salvation. It's not just a once invitation. It's a daily invitation. It's a every single moment invitation to walk with Jesus. And because there is that open invitation that is always present, I get to experience peace in my life. Reconciled peace. And that's the message of Christmas. It's not necessarily about stillness and tranquility. It's about reconciliation with Jesus. It's about invitation to walk with Jesus. I hope you've experienced that. I hope you know that invitation that Jesus makes is for you every single moment of your life. Come, walk with me, he says. Just as you are. You know, I'm sure the shepherds, years after the events of that Christmas night, must have looked back and thought, oh, do you know what? I wish I'd had a bath. I wish I'd changed my clothes. Now that I know who Jesus is, I wish I'd done that. I think sometimes in our Christian walk, that's how we can be. We lose that initial running to Jesus because we become aware of our sin and we're a bit more reticent to do that. Actually, the invitation that was given to us the moment we receive salvation is still open today. And whether we feel we're dressed in royal robes or dressed in rags, Jesus still says, come. That for me is the message of peace this Christmas. And I hope you receive that peace. That no matter where you're at, no matter how well you think you're doing in your faith walk, no matter whether you feel like you're doing really well or you feel like a failure, whether your life seems ordered and good at the moment or whether you feel like you're the worst of sinners, Jesus says, come, walk with me, receive my peace. That for me is the message of Christmas. That's the message of the Prince of Peace. And that's what this week's candle represents. An open invitation to you and to me. Well, I'd like now to play you a very special song that I discovered a couple of weeks ago. And we have permission to use this within our service. It's a song that plays on the words of a traditional hymn. We sing the carol, Come All You Faithful. And when you think about that, I'm not sure I can sing that, because I know I'm not faithful to Jesus, not all the time, not every day, not every moment. How many of us actually are the faithful in that sense? Anyway, this particular group created a song called Come All You Unfaithful. And I'd like us to listen to this song and use it really as a prayer, as an invitation that will lead us into sharing communion together. Come All You Unfaithful.
Perfect love. Oh, come. Well, I hope you were as blessed as I was by that last song. Well, we come now to communion, and I've come down to the sanctuary, and I purposely positioned myself between the symbols of Christmas and Easter, the coming of Christ and Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And of course, before us now is a third symbol of our faith, the wine and the bread, the meal that represents so much to us. And so come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loves you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Lamentations says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts as well as our hands to God in heaven." Well, let's just take a moment to pause and to reflect and to bring before God those things that do hinder our relationship with him, that cause us to hesitate when he says, "Come." Let's bring those things before God now. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Well, let us pray a prayer of thanks. Father God, we thank you for the beautiful symbols of our faith. From the nativity scenes that depict your birth, to the cross that represents all that Easter means to us. And we thank you for this bread and this wine and the meal that this represents, that we can receive forgiveness from you and be united with you through faith. Thank you for this meal and bless it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Jesus, after he had given thanks, he took bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." please take your bread and take it yourself and share it among those who are with you. And in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup represents the new covenant sealed by my blood. Let's share the blood of Jesus shed for us." Let's pray. God of grace, you have called us to be your disciple people and gathered us to your table. Here we have tasted the bread of heaven and shared the new wine of your kingdom. Empower us by your Spirit that we may be a gospel people, good news for all the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, love with all sincerity. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And so let's sing our final song.
Now with you, then you are crowned.
Well, I have to say that putting this week's message together and making my own personal reflections on peace at Christmas and the journey I feel that God's taken me on this week has been really profound and challenging and quite emotional, really. I hope you've heard for yourself the voice of Jesus speaking into your life. I know that's been my experience this week. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus speaks. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me." Jesus daily stands at the door of your life and asks you to open that door. And I'd encourage you, take the opportunity to invite Jesus in. I promise you, you won't regret it. I pray this Christmas will be a truly peace-filled Christmas, full to the brim of the beautiful reconciliation that Jesus offers. God bless you all, and we'll meet again next week. Bye-bye.